reality.
Oh, friend, I've seen the burdens of these times and all the things you dreamt of being weighed down. No, friend, it doesn't seem like life is working out the way you dreamt it when you look around. The promises of better days don't yield the way they should. What's the use in going on when life ain't all that good? And he said, what do I need with love when I can't understand the love that's standing in my face? And what do I need with dreams when I can't even find the answers to the ones that get me running right in place? Oh, friend, I've been to places of the heart and know that I could never live a second life. But friend, I've known a couple different truths that kept my life from slipping further in decline. The promises of better days don't yield the way they should. But what's the use in giving up when life can be so good? And he said, what do I need? I can't understand the love that's standing in my face. And what do I need with dreams when I can't even find the answers to the ones that get me running right in place? And what do I need with dreams when I can't even find the answers to the ones that get me running right in place? What do I need with love when I can't understand the love that's standing in my face? And what do I need with dreams when I can't even find the answers to the ones that get me running right in place?
You're listening live, the sounds of Charlie Widmer with his new single, What Do I Need With Love,
here. Yes, sir.
WNHH-FM's Acoustic Thursday at Studio 51. Charlie Widmer is our guest this week, and what a pleasure to have you back in the studio, Charlie. It's been a minute.
Thank you so much, Paul, and NHI. Man, it's been a really long time. I can't remember, honestly, we're just talking about
it. Well, we've been seeing you around town in terms of you being in the studio.
That's right. It's been a while. I mean, yes, no, I have been definitely performing. That's for sure.
So Charlie Widmer is an area musician, been around for a long time, probably longer than the number of years he's been alive, because he's done everything from opera to R&B to rock to folk to bluegrass to Broadway to jazz.
Yep.
And this is your new single.
That's my new single. It's my first solo single. You know, we put a lot of time and energy and effort into the song, into the production of the song, and trying to make something that I think, like any artist, is something you can live with the rest of your life, you know?
And obviously what's fun about coming on an acoustic show solo is you do it very different from people who are here. I watched the video. It's
That's
a very
right.
good video.
Oh, thank you.
That you filmed in Switzerland.
That's
and
right.
And we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But the instrumentation is very different.
Very, you know,
tell
and
me about
I mean,
that.
And I
because
would
say, it wasn't a keyboard, so we're kind of focused on the beginning
sure.
of the video.
For sure, and I would say that, you know, that song, you know, that's the fun of collaborating with people, that they kind of pull different things out of you. And so when I got to work with the producer that produced that, a great friend of mine now, Phil Merrick, who based in Switzerland, you know, it was like I had one idea of how the track went. And then we got in the studio, laid it down pretty much how you heard it. Just guitar exactly like that. And then 2 months later, you know, because we had to go back and forth, a million different things, he sent me the first cut of it. And it was shockingly different. But in a way that was like, oh, this is how it needs to go.
I was thinking about songwriters. So mm-hmm. when you wrote this song, what were you thinking about? Who's this about? Who's the old friend?
Well, I think that's, you know, it's a great question. You know, this song is actually an internal monologue, like discussion, if you will, between me to myself. And it was right at in the heat of the pandemic where it was like, vaccines weren't out yet. You know, us as artists, we were the first ones to lose our jobs, you know, the last ones to get back to work. And so there I was thinking, what if it never goes back? What if I never have a chance? And what if the weight of my dreams is what just crushes me? And that's why especially it's that second line in the chorus, you know, and what do I need with dreams when I can't even find the answers to the ones that kept me running right in place? So I felt desperate and I wrote this song and I thought, I'll never share it with anybody. And, you know, that's the best thing about having bandmates is that, you know, you think, all right, well, if anybody's going to tell me it's not good.
You know? I think it's good.
You know, I thank you so much.
And the other thing one thing I've been thinking about lately is how a song that's about something specific and tells it well, often, not always, the secret is to make it universal enough so other yeah. people could find meaning
right.
in it. So I've been thinking that only because
right.
Beyonce just did a cover of Blackbird.
Oh, incredible. Yeah.
And I had forgotten that it was about the civil rights movement.
Same. Yeah, I actually had never heard that, and I was shocked to hear that.
And it works.
Oh, yeah.
And it works on its own.
Yes, it does.
And so does this.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that's what this is about. So then I'm watching you play that, and I was thinking, so you wrote it on guitar?
Yeah, and I write all my songs on guitar. Everything starts on guitar and voice. And then from there, if I demo it out, I tend to add all the harmonies and stuff just because I'm just like a harmony nut.
I was thinking about demos. Yeah. So like we talked about your guitar playing mm-hmm. before you came on.
Yeah.
And that to me was the ultimate demo guitar playing. Because when you're coming yeah. in to promote a new yeah. single like you right. are here on the yeah. radio, yeah. you can't bring your whole band with you.
No.
You can't bring all
no.
the flavors. So you're stripping right. it down raw. And yeah. I felt like I was hearing, because I watched the video and heard the keyboards.
Yeah.
I felt like I was hearing the demo. And I was thinking how... Okay, you talk about how you're not Eric Clapton, right?
Right.
You grew up with an Eric Clapton friend, right? But you're a good guitar. I realize what you did right in that was the rhythm.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had those parts where it builds when you're doing the in between the verses and the chords going up the neck. And I think that might be one of the secrets when you're writing a song. Can you hear when you're writing the song, you're thinking about the basic chord structure, the basic rhythm.
Right.
Can you hear where else it's going to go? Or are you thinking, I'm doing the stripped version, I'm going to wait for my friends and my producer to go there?
No, I think that, you know, you kind of get this vision of what it could be to a certain extent. And then in the instance of what my single became, I was more surprised at the different direction the producer took. But I would say most times when I'm writing a song, I want it to be able to live by itself on a guitar and voice. Otherwise, I don't think it's good enough to record. And that's just, for me, a rule where it's like, you know, I remember hearing John Mayer say that he had this one song, not his last album, but the one before, where he said, yeah, this is the kind of song, like, you know, it's a little campy, you know, he said, like, and, you know, he's like, it works, but you could never really do it with guitar and voice. He's like, a great song should be, that's the mark of a great song. And so since I heard that was like, all right, I got to make sure every song I could stand with a guitar and sing it and be happy with that. And then go into a room and say, where else can we go with this? How much further can we push it?
That's interesting. And it made me think what I said about lyrics, also in the chord structure, the rhythm of a song.
Right.
It can go, it stands on its own and it can go other places. I'm thinking of Bob Dylan writing All Along the Mars Tower as like a solo guitar acoustic, and then Jimi Hendrix blew it into outer space.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or Suzanne Vega, I don't know if you heard her, Tom's Diner, and then she was happy someone stole it without permission, a rap duo in England, and made it into a beat. I mean, like,
yeah.
It must be fun to see your song take flight with other people.
I mean, I think that, you know, again, with this song, we had kind of like 2 years as a band of kind of throwing it out there. You know, I think that actually NHI did a report on this song for us. And, you know, and so when we did it then, that was like the first time, that was literally almost 3 years ago now, that we kind of put it on stage and tried it. And then it was like, again, that I wrote this song, I'm never going to share it with anybody. here I am sharing it with my bandmates, you know what I mean? Red in the face, like super nervous, getting through it. And then at the end, they're just like, wow, that's really great. All right, so that's validation. But then you still don't know if will audiences love it. And then you go out to the audiences, and then the audiences were going crazy. It wasn't normal responses. So when, you know, this thing in Switzerland materialized, it was like, if you could record one song, just one song of yours, what would it be? And I went and talked to the guys because it kind of started to be our song in a lot of ways. And I said, you know, I know it's not cool to steal a song back, but I've got this opportunity. And if I was going to do one song, it would be this.
And why did you have to pick one?
Just because, you know, sometimes you get one shot, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it was really just like the way this was working was like, let's see what happens. Let's produce one and then let's go from there. And, you know, now I can happily say we're just on the end of recording the whole album. So it's just, you know, we're in the mixing
master. So the album's going to be coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so let's talk about, before you play another one, let's talk about Switzerland. So
yes.
You promote on your social media that you're half Puerto Rican, half Swiss.
That's right.
And do you have so I guess you have connections to Switzerland? Is it that you just went there for roots, or how did you get connected there for your career?
So I was born in Switzerland, you know.
Oh,
I was born in Zurich, you know, and I lived there till I was about four. And then my mom moved back to the States. My dad stayed there. So, you know, with my dad being in Switzerland, we went every single summer back to Switzerland. We would, and then, you know, as you get older, the time becomes less, right? 2 months we would go when we were kids. And then, like, in your teens, it starts to become, like, you know, 6 weeks. And then high school ends, and you're lucky to get a month. And then it eventually becomes, you know, you're lucky to be there for a week or two. But so I've always kind of had my roots in Switzerland. I speak a bit of German, you know, and I feel this sense of home because my dad is there. So as soon as the plane lands and I start, even as I get on the plane in New York and I hear Swiss German, it's like this weird calm goes over me because I feel it's like this, you know, it's built into my head so that, you know, since I was a little kid, that's what's in the background. So as soon as I hear it, I feel like, oh, I'm going home. And so then I go back here and we've tried. I mean, I did the Switzerland's Got Talent. I want to say years back, you know what I mean? Right when I got out of college.
And I remember that.
And so that's what really helped me with the opera stuff. But then it was like, you know, let's see where we can go with this thing. And my dad is kind of in the entertainment stuff over there, but he's tried for years and years to help me. And it's just like nothing ever clicked until last year.
All right. So the single is What Do I Need with Love with Charlie Widmer. He's here to play on Acoustic Thursday on the WNHA Studio 51 at 51 Elm Street. You got a song up for us now called Upon the Knoll.
Yeah, this is one of those songs that when me and my bluegrass band On the Trail, when we first got together, I knew nothing of bluegrass. The other guys had much more experience in bluegrass. I'd never played a bluegrass song in my entire life. You know, it's just my best friend, the fiddle player, said, you know, let's do a gig. Let's try one. And so we'd been a band for maybe a few months, and he came up with this beautiful melody he sent to us. And so then I said, you know, let me try and come up with some words, and it's kind of become a mainstay for us. This one's also available for streaming if people want to listen to the version we cut years back.
What platform?
Any of the platforms. Yeah, Upon the Knoll by On the Trail.
Is it A Knoll or The Knoll?
The Knoll.
All right. Yes. Charlie Widmer, Upon the Knoll.
Softness of the breeze that sing within my soul. Of loss it speaks to me, but more of where to grow. A home at heart set far apart exists so beautiful. Take me home. No longer wandering, heart full of song, where the birds and bees will sing away the day, peacefully eternal.
Of all the birds and bees that live upon the knoll, there sang a little sprite that spoke within my soul. She told me all at once that I would never find my home until I found the peace that comes with being all alone. So take me home to where I belong, no longer wandering, heart full of song, where the birds and bees will sing away the day peacefully. Eternally upon the knoll I lay. Take me home to where I belong, no longer wandering, heart full of song, where the birds and bees will sing away the day peacefully, eternally upon the knoll I lay.
Charlie Widmer on WNHH-FM's Acoustic Thursday at Studio 51 playing Upon the Knoll. Nice job, Charlie.
Thank you.
So great to have you in the studio.
Oh, it's a pleasure, really.
So you played that with your bluegrass band.
That's right, you know, and that's a song that we was one of the first songs that we ever wrote as a group, and then we kind of cut the record on it, and it was, again, another one of those songs that, like you said, you get to see what it does for other people. And that's one of those ones that no matter where we go, it becomes highly requested, or, you know, the weirdest comment we get a lot is like, God, I hope they play that at my funeral.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I and feel, you're it like, feels kind of Irish to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and I agree, you know, and it's because that melody was started on a fiddle, and that's really, you know, that's, so, you know, our fiddle player was the one that sent us in. It was just literally
so you did the playing words and the fiddle player. Because one thing, so to, and when he'd start on a fiddle, who did the chords?
The chords are kind of implied, and that's the nice thing, you know, for us as musicians. Once you get to a certain level, you can hear, as long as you know, okay, this is the key I'm in, you kind of go, okay, I know where the chord is.
So you played that in A?
Yes.
Exactly. Second chord is A major?
A major 7, and then it goes to the F sharp minor 7, right?
Oh, okay.
Which is like that little sister chord of like, there's the A, and then there's that F right there. It goes beautifully with it, then back to that. And that's the thing. So you hear that in the melody. So all of us, we never have to go over chords too much as a band. It's just like if there's a melody, we all, okay, yeah, yeah.
And there's somebody, the reason I asked about that.
Yeah.
So that progression you do at the beginning of the verse.
Yes.
It's not what we typically think about bluegrass and country.
No,
it does feel
not
a little more like a mournful Irish song.
Yeah.
But then again, before you were born,
yeah,
bluegrass has assimilated a lot of forms into it. There's
right.
Newgrass.
Of course,
newgrass. And it works.
Yeah.
And I always wonder at what point. So I'm wondering how that is played differently. So it's played with the fiddle.
Yes.
And exactly. You got a banjo on it? Or
We had a banjo player originally in the band. So yes, when we first cut it, there's banjo on it, mandolin, upright bass, you know. And so, I mean, like you said, so much bluegrass is a lot of like,
and also the instrumentation is part of what defines it, right? The acoustic guitar and the fiddle and the bass. Boom,
boom, technically, boom, boom. We break the rule because these days we don't have a banjo, so it's like almost like, you know, it's almost sacrilegious.
They let you in, but yeah, a little sacrilegious.
Yeah, now they almost get a little mad. You know, you could use a banjo. We're like, all right, you know.
Well, the other reason I asked about that is I think you must be the most multifaceted musician I've ever interviewed in terms of genre.
Oh, thank,
well, and we've had you on when you were doing an opera performance in New Haven.
That's
you've
right.
done Broadway kind of cabaret performing.
Absolutely.
I watched you at Cafe 9 with your brother doing R&B hip-hop thing, which was just awesome.
Yeah.
You've done folk. You've done jazz.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. Did you begin thinking you're in one genre? So we talked about how bluegrass itself expands to be a lot of genres. That's happening everything. I mean, that's the Beyonce album, right?
For sure. Yeah.
But how does that... You've gone so deep and studied opera.
Yeah.
You've
right.
done the folk rock
right.
thing. You've done the... What is that... Do you ever have an identity crisis, or do you feel like it's a great meld? Is there something you lead with that helps you inform it all?
I think that, you know, probably from the angle of sales, it's probably constantly what I hear. It's like, what are you? You know, but I think that as an artist, that's almost my problem. It's like I feel pulled to just explore the things that get me excited. And, you know, when I was in school, classical music became everything to me because I wanted to dominate it. You know, I didn't want to just be good at it. I wanted to conquer it in some way. And then you realize that you grow a little older and you realize that's not really how art works. So, you know,
art's like a continuing conversation across centuries, right?
Exactly.
So Bach was kind of the rock star of his day.
Oh,
you say,
sure.
And when you go to PDQ Bach, you know, it was exploding.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, again, you know, they call my generation the iPod generation. And that's why I think that genre is becoming, I wouldn't say irrelevant, but harder to define with every act. And now we see Beyonce stepping into that arena for sure. And making a big statement, but that's been happening for over a decade with smaller artists, because realistically, you know, we're starting to develop this whole thing of, I want to serve the song, not a style. And, you know, that maybe goes against what big business thinks. So I'm not entirely sure how maybe a manager would think about that stuff. But as an artist, I know that, like, my ideal thing would be that, like, every day I'm singing something.
And when you say, who am I? So you're right, that for conventional mass market business strategy,
right,
who am I is kind of tough. But if you're trying to make a living as a true musician to yourself, there's something beautiful about who am I is multifaceted, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I can't, you know, I've tried to put myself into a box over the years. Every time I try and force myself into that space, it makes me so uncomfortable and burns me out very quickly. And I've realized that, like, I need to let all of those things in me be expressed, otherwise I feel almost hollow.
And of course, that's not just happening in music today. No. That's happening with all of people's identities.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
So Charlie, what do you got? Charlie Widmer, so great to have you on WNHH-FM. And we're going to get to hear, now we heard the one that was not going to be released and then it was stolen back by its writer.
Right.
Then we got one that made it through Bluegrass back here.
Yes.
And now we're going to hear a song that has not yet been recorded.
Yeah, this one is, you know, I thought about, should I play any stuff from the album? Obviously ran it by the team and they said, you know, let's just be careful. Let's keep that, you know, this is one of these songs that it kind of, like all the songs, they kind of birth themselves. You start to get a direction for where something's going. And it ended up being this song that I've only performed a couple times live. But what I really love about this song is that I tried to capture what it feels like to be depressed, you know? And for me as an artist, I think with most people struggle, but especially as artists, since we're especially sensitive to emotions, right? Not just our own emotions, but other people's, it means that sometimes we can fall into holes easily, you know? Because we have to have super high highs, but then also because of that, we have to crash to kind of balance things out. So this was one of those songs I wrote when I was having a real low, and this song is called Waiting, kind of.
So you're going to hear it, Charlie Widmer. Thanks to listening today on WNHH-FM, and thanks to Harry Dross, the station manager, and Doreen Chernecki, who's handling the visuals. Charlie Widmer. Oh, where can they find you, Charlie?
They can find me. You can find me at charliewidmermusic.com. You know, if you look up my socials, you should be able to find me with Charlie Widmer, I would hope, but at charwid is most of my handles. And, you know, we've got a show on Friday in Danbury. We'll be playing the Community Coffee House, my bluegrass band. And on Sunday, we'll be playing the Space Ballroom in Hamden.
The Bluegrass Band.
Yeah, the Bluegrass Band will be opening for a group called Cousin Curtis. So we'll be on at about 8 o'clock that night.
Well, I'm so excited. You're still playing. You're still growing. You're still stretching.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
Thanks so much, Paul. Thanks for having
Waiting
me.
Waiting from Charlie Widmer.
It's been days, months, years fall in between, and still I cannot seem to shake this feeling. There's been ways from when it used to be, bigger piece of me that felt some healing. 'Cause the curse is more perverse, and then these words can overcome. Feels like in years I've longed to warm up in the sun. If it's true, too, that it's happening to you, then at least I know I'm not the only one. Try and try with all that I've got, but I just keep sinking further and I'm caught. Waiting for the sun to warm my eyes. Sun to warm my eyes. Ooh. Ooh. Oh. Now the lights grow screens, and breathing in between won't bring no healing. I feel the earth pause. I'm spinning in between just a little piece while my mind's reeling, 'cause the pain is so much worse than these thoughts could ever be. Seems like years that I have waited to be free. If it's true, too, that it's happening to you, and then at least I know I'm not the only one. Try and try with all that I've got, but the darkness just keeps swallowing me up. I'm waiting, 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 waiting. Waiting, 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 waiting for the sun to warm my eyes. Ooh, ooh, waiting for the sun to warm my eyes. With all that I've got, but the darkness just keeps swallowing me up. Waiting, 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 waiting for the sun to warm my eyes.
Charlie Whitmer.